Welcome to another midweek message from Myerstown Church of the Brethren. I'm Pastor Dennis, and this message is for Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. And I've titled this message, Where Were the Men? Last week, I read this scripture from Mark 15, verses 40-41, that recounts the women who were at the cross when Jesus was crucified. Mark writes, "There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem." And I also want to share these words from John's Gospel, John 18, verses 4 through 9. "Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, 'Whom are you looking for?' They answered, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus replied, 'I am he.' Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, 'I am he,' they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, 'Whom are you looking for?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus answered, 'I told you that I am he. So if you're looking for me, let these men go.' This was to fulfill the word he had spoken, 'I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me.'" Now, my midweek messages during this season of Lent have focused on those who were shouting stones, people whose stories contribute to the story of Jesus last week on earth. So far, I've shared about Bartimaeus, the high priest's servant girl, and the Roman centurion at the cross. Last week's shouting stones were the women at the cross we read about in Mark 15. I said these women provided a tremendous example of faith for us. They didn't scatter like the 11 disciples, and they remained faithful in spite of what seemed at the moment to be the end for Jesus. Because they remained faithful, they were eyewitnesses to the greatest event in history, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are part of God's forever family today, greatly because of their witness. But then, where were the men? Where were those 11 remaining disciples in whom Jesus had invested 3 years of his life teaching and preparing them for future responsibilities? They were nowhere to be seen at the cross, except for one. John was at the cross. John 19, verses 26-27 suggests this, saying, "When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And he said to this disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from then on, this disciple took her into his home." John is that disciple Jesus loved. But let's not think any less of the other 10. What they did in scattering when Jesus was arrested was fulfillment of scripture. Zechariah 13:7 says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my associate, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd so that the sheep may be scattered." And speaking to his disciples of his impending death, Jesus quoted that scripture in Matthew 26:31-32. "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.'" Earlier, I read these words from John 18:7-9. Again, he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you I am he. So if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Where are the men? Well, following Jesus' resurrection, we read in John 20:21 that the disciples were together again, hiding for fear of the Jews, the scripture says, when the women came with the news of the empty tomb. And later, they followed Jesus' command and went to Galilee, where he appeared to them once more. Jesus' relationship with his disciples didn't end when they abandoned him. They came back together, and they soon understood that Jesus had never abandoned them. In fact, Jesus forgave them. Resurrection happened, not just Jesus' resurrection, but the disciples as well. New life, new hope, new promise, a new relationship, a new purpose, a new mission, a story to tell. Go, he told them, go and be my witnesses. So what's all that mean for us today? I think it comes down to this. In a world that increasingly is a world of us and them, a world divided by politics, by race, by income, the message these men are shouting out to us is that there is room for all in God's family. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. There is room for you at the cross. There's a place for you in God's family. Jesus knew his disciples would abandon him at the time of his greatest need, but he forgave them. On the beach by the Sea of Galilee, the resurrected Jesus forgave Peter for his denial and then gave him a mission and a ministry. Feed my sheep, Jesus told him. Forgiveness and welcome into God's family is available to all for the taking. Resurrection life is available to all who will choose to walk in it, all who will accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our place in the family of God has been guaranteed by Jesus for all eternity. Now, there may be some of you reading or listening to this message who have some doubts about what I've just said. That's okay. Jesus' disciple Thomas did also, until he met the risen Jesus. Maybe you've never heard any of this before. Maybe you've had a bad experience with church and are reluctant to give it another try. Maybe this whole faith thing hasn't been a part of your life. Let me tell you a little story. I was a middle school band director for 30 years, and part of that middle school band experience was offering the students an opportunity to play in a jazz band. Over the years, one of the students' favorite pieces was Glenn Miller's In the Mood. Being a middle school group, we played a watered-down version of that big band classic, and we didn't always do the watered-down version particularly well. I suspect Glenn Miller may have rolled over in his grave a few times when we played it. But when I put In the Mood on the program for the band, I didn't necessarily do it because we were going to do a phenomenal job performing it. I put it there because for some of those kids and for some of the audience, that performance of In the Mood would be the only experience they would have hearing or performing that great Glenn Miller classic. And maybe it would encourage them to explore some more big band and Glenn Miller music. Well, similarly, the church is the means by which the world can hear the music of the good news of Jesus Christ. If performance standards are the most important measure, then maybe the church is in trouble. Yet in spite of its flaws, the neighborhood church is still the best hope for the world and the best venue for hearing and experiencing the good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, sometimes in the church, we might be the screechy saxophone players in God's ragtag big band, but Jesus is here, even in the midst of our imperfection. The church is God's family on earth today, supporting one another, caring for one another, and serving one another. Indeed, we are a family. Yet we confess we're not always the church Jesus wants us to be. We, like everyone else, are imperfect human beings. But we're working on it, trusting in and looking to Jesus all the way. Revelation 7:9 gives us this beautiful picture of what God's family is to be like. The writer sees a vision of, quote, a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. Right now, we view that wonderful future from a distance. But one day, promises that through Jesus, you and I can be there in that vast crowd with people from every nation, tribe, people, and language, all of us together in front of the throne and before the Lamb. There's a place for everyone in God's family. So if you've heard all this before, but haven't been sure how to respond, or if all of this is entirely new to you, I invite you to check out this little part of God's family we know as Myerstown Church of the Brethren. I invite you to come and join us as together we discover what it means to follow Jesus today. Jesus invites us all. There's room for everyone. One of my favorite contemporary songs is the song, All the People Said Amen. And its lyrics summarize all this pretty well. If you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Weak or strong, love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall, but he so loved the world, he sent his son to save us all. There is welcome and there is room for everyone in God's family. And if you're not part of the family already, we invite you to join us in our little part of the family of God. Let's pray. God, thank you for the witness of all these shouting stones, especially those disciples who, in spite of their weakness, became Jesus' witnesses to the world and to us. Thank you for the church, where we get to know more about Jesus, where we live and grow together as your family. Speak into the hearts of those who do not yet know you. May we, in your family, be your shouting stones today, sharing your good news with all who will hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope to see you on Sunday morning. Have a blessed week.